Welcome to Empath, conversations and intentions around meaningful marketing for soulful, sensitive, empathic entrepreneurs. Join me, the feral writer, to talk with truth and texture about creativity from the heart space, marketing with meaning and emotion. This is Empath. Hi guys, and welcome back to Empath. Today I'm talking about going through the change. I don't necessarily mean that change, although sometimes it's that change, but this is about how midlife affects our careers and creativity as women. And I'm quite interested in this. It's probably not going to be a very long podcast today. It's not a set of tips or anything like that. It's just a discussion piece to really look at where we're at and how common this is for this to happen to women. I actually bumped into a woman at my school the other day, a mum at my school, and she actually said to me, "We're finding ourselves again." And that's what it feels like. It feels like we're finding ourselves again. You know, you can call it a midlife crisis. You can call it the Uranus opposition. You can call it perimenopause. Whatever you call it, I believe the midlife is where the magic is. And what I like about the idea of the menopause is the word pause. You know, it is a chance to think, to stop, to reflect, to really step off the treadmill for a second and think, who am I? What do I want outside of my children, outside of my duties, away from the day-to-day? And this is where we redefine who you are. It's often a time of great change, complete career shifts and surges of creativity. And this is what I love, that so many women I know are going through this tidal wave of change, almost collectively. And it looks different in every woman. You know, when I think about some of the women that I know who are going through this and I think about how that looks and the shape of it, it could be they just up sticks and went traveling. They changed their career entirely. They got a new qualification or studied for a master's or learned something entirely new. They started dancing or painting or decided to write a book. They started a passion project or became more social and started creating new networks of friendships. They got fit and started like really, you know, changing their body and changing how they felt about themselves mentally and emotionally. They started a business. They closed a business. You know, lots of people are closing their businesses and that's also part of this change. They changed direction entirely. They took a sabbatical and took some time off. They retrained as a yoga instructor. They stripped back and dropped the LinkedIn look, you know, the overly polished, overly professional, you know, serious, I mean, business look. That sort of stripping back and going, and people are changing and thinking, that's not who I am. I don't just want to be a face on LinkedIn. I don't just want to have that, you know, appearance to me. I'm deeper than that. I want to be more authentic than that. And it is really about finding that level of authenticity. They say what they really think and start really asserting themselves and being honest about who they are and what they want and speaking up and taking up space. And I love that. So today I'm talking about that really. And it's just a thought piece on how you can lean into the change rather than resist it, rather than seeing it as some kind of awful thing where you think, gosh, you know, what's happening to me? I'm having a midlife crisis. I'm having a breakdown. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I want. My business is failing. I think it's about thinking, well, hang on, is my business failing or is my business speaking to me? Is my body failing or is my body speaking to me? What is your intuition telling you? What do you really want? What are your soul goals and how are you going to achieve them? And maybe this is the time when you say, actually, my soul goals are to travel. My soul goals are to write a book. My soul goals are to be a photographer. And I've always wanted to be a photographer, but I'm a lawyer because law is where the money is. There comes a point in your life where you go, do I care about the money? You know, it reminds me of that speech by Alan Watts where he goes like, if you love what you do, do it. Don't think about the money. I'm paraphrasing, but he says, don't think about the money because it's about doing what you love that lights you up and then knowing the money will follow. And I know that sounds really like, oh yeah, sure, the money's going to follow. And let's be honest, if you're going to become a photographer and you're leaving a career of law, you're likely to earn less. But there's more to life than money. And it's, you know, it's looking at the meaning. And I think when we get to the midlife, we start to think more about the meaning, what we truly want. You know, you can't buy happiness. I mean, sure, you can buy some things. But at the end of the day, you know, I read something ages ago about people that spend a fortune on a house and then they end up stuck in commuter traffic for 3 hours a day, driving to a job they don't like, to pay for a house they don't really even care about, you know, in a fancy car. It just, it's all about how we look and how we're perceived. Now, I'm not saying that's true for everyone, but there is a point in our lives where we start to question everything and think, what do I want? And who am I? And how do I want to change things? And quite often, I find this is linked to childhood dreams. If you look at what you wanted and who you were as a child, and I know not everyone can remember that, but quite often when I'm working with clients, this is what we're looking at. We're looking at who they were as children and what they loved, what lit them up from a really young age. And for me, like, things that lit me up, I loved to dance, you know, not professionally, not like in classes. I just loved to dance in my bedroom. And I also loved music and I also loved to write. And I said I'd write a book. And I'm now 40, you know, approaching 41 pretty quickly. And these are the things I still love. I still love dancing. And now for the first time ever, I'm actually dancing. I'm actually dancing in a group. And it doesn't matter that I'm not brilliant. It doesn't matter that I'm not like professional level. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to be a dancer for a career. I'm doing this for the love of it. It's the absolute joy of it. You know, I still play music every single day. I still love music every day. When I was about 10 or 11, I started learning about astrology. I used to go to the bookshop, pick up a copy of Linda Goodman's Sun Signs and flick through it in the bookshop and go and make notes in my notepad. And now here I am, literally like 30 years later, and I'm doing exactly the same thing. I'm now doing astrology courses and reading very good astrology books and texts and old texts and studying from some of the greats. And I'm going and writing things in a notebook. Yes, I have more books. Yes, I have courses and I have, you know, much fancier notebooks. But essentially, it's the same thing. The things that brought me joy then still bring me immense joy now. And don't get me wrong, I don't plan to be a professional astrologer. I don't plan to be a professional dancer. But I'm doing these things because they light me up. And I'm writing a book. And for a long time, I was trying to write a book proposal and get, you know, not funding, but backing from the people that need to give you the nod, the agents and the publishers. And actually, things were going wrong all the time. And I was starting to get into problems, even at that early stage of how I saw my book and how they saw my book. And I kept changing the book and changing the idea and coming up against things. I actually even pitched a book which was talking about the danger of social media for young women. And I got told I didn't have a big enough social media following for to write the book, which is really funny, but really also quite tragic. And I think that it got to the point where one day I just thought, hang on a minute, what am I getting a publisher for? What is a publisher or an agent going to do for me? They are going to promote my book and they're going to fund it. But I can fund it. I can fund my book just fine. I can either fund it myself and it'll take longer, or I'll fund it through Crowdfunder. And I know I've got the sort of people around me that would probably want to fund my book. And I don't need that approval. And it gives me creative, you know, creative power to be able to do what I want to do and not have to make the compromise that I see so many of my friends who are authors go through, not getting their title, not getting their cover, you know, having clashes with their agents and their editors and their publishers over who they actually are, but who they are in public. And I want to be me authentically and go out with my authentic message. And I think there came a point in the last 18 months where I started to think, hang on a minute, what do I even want to write a book for? You know, am I trying to be a bestseller? No, I just want to be able to have a book. Because I've always wanted to write one. And it's a passion project. And I know I'm not alone in that. I know a lot of women are in the very same boat thinking, I want to write a book. I want to write music. I want to dance. I want to paint. I want to take up pottery, one of my clients told me. I want to have my own wedding venue and completely do it my own way. That client now has her very own wedding venue. And she's doing it exactly as she wanted. And she also took up pottery. So at the end of the day, it's about identifying what your soul goals are and not thinking everything you do has to make money. Not everything you do has to be profitable. Some things are just pleasurable and that's okay. And some things combine both. You can make profit and still have fun doing it. And I've been changing my career all the time in order to, you know, to facilitate this, to make sure that I love my job and I get to do what I love and I get to change people's lives. And I want it to be authentic and I want it to be real. And I don't ever want to be talking about something that I don't love. And that is why so much has changed in my career in the last year and why so much is going to change in my career in the next year and why so much has changed in my life in the last year and so much is probably going to change in my life in the next year, because it's reflecting who I am becoming rather than who I was. You know, if you always do what you've always done, then you'll always get what you've always had. And at the end of the day, we change. We shift, we evolve, we change together and we change collectively, we change individually. You know, it's on multiple levels of change. And so I guess today I'm bringing this to your attention and asking you how you feel about it and opening it up to discussion, how you feel about where you are in your life and business at the moment. When was the last time you checked in with yourself and said, who am I? Who am I? As well as being a mother, a wife, a sister, a daughter, you know, a friend, a colleague, an employer, an employee, a dog owner, you know, what else does, who are you, you know, at root level, who are you and what do you want? What brings you joy? What truly brings you joy? And if you make a note of the things that bring you joy, I bet most of them don't cost you very much at all. You know, it doesn't cost me a fortune to dance. It certainly doesn't cost me anything to walk the dogs. It doesn't cost me anything to sit in the sun and feel the sun on my face. And yet, guys, I wasn't doing any of those things. 10 years ago, I was really successful on paper and I was miserable. I was leaving my dog at home to go to a job that I didn't like rather than sitting curled up with him on my lap. You know, why would I do that? Because I had a big shiny office that impressed my big shiny clients. And that's ridiculous because at the end of the day, who gives a shit? You know, the only person losing out here was me and my dog. And likewise, you know, when you find something you love that lights you up, you absolutely need to grasp it with both hands. Because what would you do if money was no object? How would you live if money was no object? And also, is there a way you can compromise? You know, I know somebody that trained to be a lawyer and always wanted to be a hairdresser. And so she did. She became a hairdresser and she took a massive, massive pay cut because she went from being an established qualified lawyer to a trainee hairdresser. I think on something ridiculous. You know, if you look at the money, it was minimum wage and it was a few years ago. So it's probably quite low. But she was so much happier. She looked so much happier for it. And isn't that everything? Being on the right track. And who's to say what the right track is? Because in my experience, this midlife experience changes that track. You can be walking along on one track and suddenly a new track comes in and it changes everything. You know, a friend of mine said the other day about my Instagram content that my pictures have changed. Your pictures have changed. And, you know, he said to me, I'm not sure how I feel about it because I don't feel that's you. And I said, that's not the me you know, but it is the me. It's a side of me that is coming out more and more, that's been part of who I am for many, many years. But he knew me from my agency days. And there was no way I would be like that in my agency days, not outwardly. You wouldn't show that sort of raw feminine side because it was a very patriarchal system. It is a patriarchal system. You know, I talked last week about your LinkedIn look, and I very much had that look down. I knew how to look good for press releases and have it all together and say the right thing in the room full of the right people and all the stuff I absolutely hate now. And so you're going to go through changes and you need to not worry about what people think and you need to just own who you are and live as authentically as possible, but absolutely do what lights you up. In my opinion, do what lights you up and the right people will always be beside you. They will always understand you're shifting, you're evolving, you're unfolding, you're unraveling, and they'll be there beside you for that. But today isn't tips, it's not advice, it's not even specifically marketing related. But it is for creative empaths, and it is about thinking, especially female empaths, female creatives, you know, it's what changes we're going through hormonally, emotionally, in our identity. In society, our place in society, the role of women is changing. And we have much more freedom than we've ever had. And yet there's also so many problems still and restrictions when it comes to things like childcare and gender pay gap and things like that. But today I'm just asking you to really think about who you are and what you want and what lights you up and whether or not you're going through some changes and making space to honour those and allow them and, you know, don't put yourself in a small pot. When I think about a plant or a rose in a pot and the pot's really small and restricted and that rose cannot grow properly and you move the rose to a bigger pot and you put it in the right light and you give it the right amount of water, suddenly the rose starts to change. And so I guess I'm asking you, are you in the right pot? Are you in the sunlight? And do you have the right amount of water? Are you being nourished and nurtured to open up into the life that's waiting for you? I would love to hear feedback on this episode, guys. Do get in touch with me at Instagram. You can find me at The Feral Writer. I love hearing from you guys on how you find the episodes and what you think, and I love to open that dialogue with you. And we always finish every episode with an invitation to set an intention. And so today I want you to spend some time journaling around this and say, what changes am I going through? How am I honouring these changes? And also, what lights me up? What lights me up? That's so important. That's it for today, guys. But remember, whatever you do, all you've got to be is true. Thank you for listening to Empath, the podcast for meaningful marketing for soulful creatives. If you want more from me, head to my website, jesscollins.co.uk, and check out my membership community, Empress, where you will find a community of heart-centered creatives, the Empress Practice, my signature 7 chapters of soulful marketing, and weekly live sessions, from soul goal setting to journaling and personal access to me. The doors are currently open. Be sure to message me on Instagram at The Feral Writer to let me know how you found this episode. Take care, and I'll be back next week.